Gretchen Reynolds writes the Phys Ed column for the New York Times. She's compiled the latest in exercise science in the book The First 20 Minutes. Anne Strangeshamps checked in with her.
Well, Gretchen, there's been a lot of attention paid lately to humans as a running animal. I mean, some people even say we were born to run, designed to run. Do you think that's true?
The science actually doesn't really support that idea that we're born to run. It appears both from the fossil record and from sort of anecdotal evidence that we actually are born to walk. We're much more efficient. The human structure, the skeleton, is much more efficient at walking than at running. When they bring people and other animals into the lab and put all of us, the people and the other mammals, on treadmills and test how well we move, humans are exceptionally good at walking. We are better than almost any other mammal in terms of how well we use energy. And we're really poor in terms of running. We're not nearly as fast or as efficient or as speedy as most other mammals. We just like doing it.
And at the same time, I think of running as just walking but speeded up.
Well, yes and no. It actually is a different stride. When you walk, one of your feet is always on the ground. And when you run, there is a period when you're not. And for whatever reason, we are actually not as efficient as four-legged mammals at running. We can outwalk them by a long ways.
It seems to me that in some ways, there has never been a better time to run. I mean, practically every week there's a new study or some new research out that sheds new light on the physiology or the biochemistry of running. And for exactly the same reason, there's never been a worse time to run, because we are just presented with a barrage of new information all the time. Is there a consensus emerging about best practices?
I will say what seems to be emerging is what common sense would probably have told us, which is the human body definitely needs to be moving, and running is a really good way in a concentrated period of time to move. But the best science suggests that moderation, unsurprisingly, is the ideal approach to running. There was a really interesting study that was presented at the most recent meeting of the American College of Sports Medicine that looked at how much running is best for your lifespan, meaning what amount of running will give you the potentially the longest lifespan. And it wasn't a lot of running. It was running about 3 miles, four, maybe five times a week, at a pretty slow, or at least moderate pace of about 10 to 11 miles per hour, which is, for a really serious runner, would be considered slow. For me, it's now rather fast. But that's a really manageable amount of running. There's some evidence that doing a lot more running may not necessarily be healthy, and doing a whole lot less, you won't get quite as many health and fitness benefits. But that moderate amount of running appears to be the absolute sweet spot.
Mm. You titled your book The First 20 Minutes, sort of suggesting for those of us like me who have to force ourselves to exercise that perhaps 20 minutes would be enough. Is that true?
Yes, although it depends on what your goal is for exercise. And that's a really important message, that if your goal is to be healthy, to have less risk of heart disease, diabetes, dementia, obesity, if that is your goal, then it appears that the first 20 minutes of moving will provide most of those health benefits. And that's any type of moving. It doesn't have to be running. Walking, cycling, going upstairs, gardening, any type of human movement is really important for health. And most of the benefits of exercise or activity in general are gathered in the first 20 minutes compared to sitting on the couch.
And do those 20 minutes have to be consecutive? What about the suggestion that it's okay to break it up and do it in 10-minute chunks?
Yes, there's some very good science suggesting that what scientists call fractionalized bouts of exercise, which means 10 minutes at a time, even 5 minutes, if that's all you can manage. If you get, say, 3 10-minute bouts, 2 10-minute bouts during a day, you will get most of the health benefits, probably all of the health benefits of 20 or 30 minutes consecutively.
And then for those of us who would like to get really efficient about exercising, there's this high intensity interval training that turns out to be really effective. But the bad news part is that it's really got to hurt. Can you tell me about this?
High intensity interval training is great for both health and fitness. What it means is essentially you do short bouts of hard work, meaning you run or cycle or swim hard for 1 minute, then go easy for 1 minute, go hard for 1 minute, easy for 1 minute. If you can do that 10 times, which would be 20 minutes, with a short, say, 5 minute warm up, 5 minute cool down, then in 30 minutes, you can get both the health and the fitness benefits, scientific studies have shown, of about 90 minutes of much slower endurance exercise. So if you want to be both more healthy and fitter, then, and you have
in less
very
amount
little
of time,
yes, then all you need to do, and this is a big all, is make yourself be really uncomfortable for about a minute at a time.
How uncomfortable? I mean, when you say exercise hard for a minute at a time, how hard?
Well, in the scientific studies, it was at least 90% of their heart rate maximum, which you can determine by using formulas, but you can also just be honest with yourself. You want it to be about a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 of how hard this feels. And they have found in a number of studies that if people are honest with themselves, they usually can tell whether they're at about 90% of their maximum.
That's when you feel like you're about to have a heart attack, right?
Yes, but it's only for a minute. And what's interesting is when they have asked people, their subjects afterwards, did you like this kind of exercise, this intense exercise? They almost always said they liked it better than longer, slower exercise because it got done quickly.
As we move ever further down the path of creating a culture that is almost entirely sedentary, in the sense that, you know, most of our jobs increasingly don't necessitate movement. Most of them involve sitting in front of a computer screen. So is there a kind of basic bottom line, like what do you need to do to keep all of those physical systems and mental systems in good shape?
That's actually a really interesting question because there is a difference between exercise and just being in motion. That's one of the things I found most interesting in the reporting that I've done is there's a whole new understanding that sitting a lot, even if you regularly exercise, is very unhealthy. There's a modern phenomenon that's called the active couch potato. And that is many of us, actually, including me. And that's people who may exercise at lunchtime and then sit the entire rest of the day. That's really unhealthy. The exercise will not completely undo the health problems of sitting for 8-10 hours a day, which is average for Americans.
Gretchen, I'm paid to sit for 8 hours a day. What are we supposed to do?
Well, and I'm paid to sit and write about exercise. What happens when you sit for really extended periods of time is a number of systems start malfunctioning in your body. You start producing less of an enzyme that breaks up fat in your bloodstream. That fat then goes to your muscles, your heart, your liver. You also, the big muscles in your body are not contracting, so you're not pulling as much blood sugar out of your blood. So you start having too much insulin. That's the beginning of type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance.
Hence the rise in diabetes in the U.S.
Yes, including among people who exercise. The answer is actually surprisingly simple. Stand up. There's very good and growing evidence that standing up about every 20 minutes is really important for good health. And it doesn't mean that you have to do anything while you're standing up. You don't have to jog in place. You don't have to run. You don't have to do jumping jacks. You can if you choose to and if your coworkers will put up with it. But there have been a number of studies that have found that if you stand up about every 20 minutes for, say, 2 minutes, the big muscles in your legs and your back will contract. That increases the amount of enzymes that break up fat. It means you're pulling more blood sugar. They have found that just standing up more often reduces heart disease risk and diabetes risk. It also has been found to help with weight control. If you sit unendingly for hours, for 6-7 hours, there are implications for weight gain. So stand up. It's so easy.
Gretchen Reynolds is a runner and writes the Phys Ed column in the New York Times, which appears on the Well blog online. Her new book is called The First 20 Minutes.